Hey, KT from KT Got Game here. We got a really good show for you guys today. We do some NBA talk. Topic du jour is MJ versus LeBron. Sprinkle in a little bit of Kobe in there. Talk about Golden State. Are they pretender or are they pushing contender status? Right now, we think they may be a pretender, losing five straight. Jay Williams and his quote on the Chicago Bulls, or on his time with the Chicago Bulls, should he have said what he said? Talk a little bit about Josh Smith, and then a little bit about the All-Star contest. Who do we think will win the dunk contest? Who wins the three-point contest? Who wins the actual East-West game? We finish it out with Jadeveon Clowney and some NCAA talk in terms of whether he should play this year or not. My vote is no. Bring the NCAA to its knees and make them see the light, Jadeveon, please. And then we finish it out with this or that. A little bit of Martin Lawrence for you. So stay tuned. Great show. KT Got Game coming up.
Make it to the top, wait for a bit or more, seesaw on summit that you never seen before. It came back reverse, money proof.
All right, welcome back. KT Got Game. We'll start off with the hot topic for today. LeBron James is tearing it up. He is on a roll. In my mind, he is the MVP. Much respect to Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony, who I saw in person last week. Ripped my Minnesota Timberwolves, but honestly, in my mind, it's no contest. LeBron is the man. The topic on the blogs on ESPN all day was Michael Jordan versus LeBron. I guess this is in honor of MJ's birthday. It's passed or it's coming up here maybe in a couple of days. He's
17th.
Turning 50.
On
That's
the
17th. Crazy, man. Jordan is 50 years old.
On the 17th.
On the 17th. MJ. Happy birthday, MJ. I am in favor. Obviously, you guys know Michael Jordan's my man. Like I said, I love LeBron, but in my mind, Jordan's skill set, Jordan was the perfect combination of high skill level and athleticism, focus, intensity. And LeBron's got the athleticism and it's the skill set, but excuse me, I don't think that he has the focus or the intensity that Jordan has. Ryan Russillo from ESPN made a good point today. He said that you have to kind of state the grounds on that you're arguing on. And are you going to argue on resume or are you going to argue on skill set and athleticism? And there's no argument on resume. Jordan's five-time MVP, I think. Six championships. Six. There's, you know, it's not even close.
Six finals MVPs.
So we'll have this argument on we were talking before the show, Jabbar's in favor of LeBron. So we'll have the argument on kind of skill set and resume. I think that LeBron is probably a better athlete.
He is.
I think he's overall a better athlete. I think he's definitely faster than Jordan and maybe quicker.
Is there a better athlete to ever come into the NBA than LeBron James?
That was good? No. I'm sure there was somebody like a 12th man
that
could 45 inches. And, but no, that was good. I'm going to say no.
There's probably someone like a Neon Deion type that played basketball but didn't excel at the same level in the NBA.
Right. No, that's a good point. I think Mike was a better jump shooter. Would you give me that?
Correct, yes.
Ball handler?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I like LeBron's handle, though.
I do, too. But
maybe because he's so big, we don't see guys that big handle that smoothly, and that's what it is.
He makes a lot of things look better because of his frame.
Yeah.
Right.
But you think full court, he's a better ball handler than Mike?
No,
you think Mike was a better ball handler?
I'll go Mike.
One-on-one? Mike?
Yeah. Mike's the best one-on-one player in the world.
Post-game. LeBron's post-game this year is crucial,
It's crucial. But the sample size, we only have to go from 1 year.
That's true.
Because Mike's, they did, Sports Illustrated did the greatest moves of all time. And Michael Jordan's fadeaway was number two.
What was number one?
The Dream Shake.
Just doing best post moves?
It was the Sky Hook, Dream Shake. Mike was number three, I believe.
His fadeaway?
Yeah, because it was money.
Yeah, it was.
It was. And you're not blocking it. And it was game time when he got the ball down there.
Okay. So you tell me, what other dimensions of the game would you try to evaluate him on? Rebounding? I'm going
LeBron.
Defense?
Michael Jordan.
All around? Could Jordan guard or Derrick Rose? I don't know.
Jordan could guard anybody.
You think Jordan could guard Derrick Rose?
Because you have Dennis Rodman and you have Pippen. So he didn't have to. But and Kobe did it, you know, during some of his years. But you can't tell me that he can't guard a D. Rose or, you know, Isaiah Thomas. Or he guarded Magic.
He did.
So, you know, I mean, we can debate it, but the proof is that, you know, how many, you know, first team all defense. He was like got 9 first team all defense. And that's something that's different.
LeBron, and I know I'm supposed to be arguing for Jordan, but LeBron can legitimately go 1-4.
Oh, easy.
He can. Jordan couldn't
guard a 5.
Jordan couldn't guard.
LeBron can guard a 5.
In the league right now, yeah, yes. He probably could. Yes. He probably could. Jordan couldn't guard.
But the center position was different in
they had
Jordan,
better
during
centers.
Jordan's time.
They had better right. centers.
So.
But I was going to say Jordan couldn't guard a Karl Malone or a Charles Barkley. I don't think. I think Jordan would have his hands full with Charles Barkley.
He would.
And I don't think LeBron would. I think LeBron would give both
I
of those
do.
Guys fits.
I
think
do.
So?
We're talking about Charles Barkley and Karl Malone. I agree that LeBron would do better than Mike, but you're saying that like he would give Barkley and Malone fits, like they wouldn't know what to do. When I don't feel like that.
I don't think he would.
Because he's more out of water than they are in that arena of.
On the block.
On the block.
Okay.
Correct.
No,
now, when he has the ball, it's something
it's
different then. Yeah, it's done deal.
Who are you taking under 2 minutes?
Oh, Michael Jordan.
You taking Mike under 2 minutes?
Mike.
I think if it's NBA Jam stats, Mike has the clutch at 9. He's going to finish the game.
What about passing?
I go with LeBron.
Yeah, I'm going with LeBron.
And what was dope about this and why I even feel comfortable having this argument is because of how LeBron's handling it too. Like, you know, he's giving his respect, man. And he's letting everyone else argue. He's not saying I'm better than Mike or like he's letting people debate.
That's true.
And he's giving Mike the respect he's due.
Now, another argument I had on the board, Pro Basketball Talk board a couple of days ago, was everybody seems to be whitewashing Kobe's stats from 2003 to 2007. Kobe was the man, right? Like, we forget how quick, you know, LeBron comes along and now everybody forgets how good Kobe was. Who would you take in their prime? So you take Kobe 03 to 07 or LeBron from 0 whenever he came 08
we don't,
to
we
now?
Don't forget, but
most people
we're instant grits. We're right. You know, whatever's hot right now, we forget about the best actors, musicians, and we tend to go with what's hot right now.
Who are you taking? Kobe?
That's an interesting statement. Because of the type of player that I like, I would take LeBron James. Because I'm a guy that likes LeBron James will put his hand in he'll have an impact in more areas than Kobe Bryant. And this is what I'll say, though. I think Kobe Bryant is the best. He might be the best pure scorer ever. Like for 81 points, for what do you have a stretch of 40, like 15 games?
Yeah.
Like dude was on, like he was in the zone. Like nobody else has been in the zone. And LeBron's in that similar zone, but LeBron makes it look so easy, and his numbers have been astounding for so long that they don't excite us anymore until we hear, like, dang, he did this 7 games in a row.
Right.
Like, LeBron is a special dude. And I'm a throw something out here. Me and my brother used to argue this all the time before LeBron got into the league. I was not a believer, man. I did not think LeBron would be half as good as he is.
Let me tell you a story. We were watching the game. This is my senior year, I think. Remember the first game they were on in high school?
Yeah.
And I was like you. I was just like, you know, the audience out there needs to, you know, again, not be a prisoner of a moment. We're talking 02, right? So we don't know who to – I'm still in college.
Because everybody's like, going to say, you didn't know.
Right.
No,
I'm like, don't bring me – I'm in college. Like, don't bring me some high school dude. We're still talking about juniors and seniors. You know, Jason Williams was really the man at that time.
Right.
And then he brought, I don't know if you remember this, he got it on the break. And he brought it back. He did. He cocked it back. I wish I could kind of show you guys what I'm doing right now. For those of you guys that play, you know what I'm talking about, right? He cocked the ball back while he was in the air, and then slammed it. And he does this a lot. He doesn't do it as much, but he still does it. It's his signature dunk.
Yeah.
And I said, nah, this dude. I remember my homie, one of my best friends. We were watching the game, and he was our leading scorer. And he was more skeptical than I was. And then after I saw it, I was like, nah, this dude can play. Because that's not an easy – and you were a dunker, so you tell me.
But I didn't look at that because that comes easy for LeBron. Like, that's nothing. Like, athleticism is nothing when you have it. But what turned me over is how composed he was and how I'll say, like, his first NBA game where he was out there, like, making plays, like the perfect pass. Yeah. In the passing lanes, getting cats open, playing hard, rebounding. He just made the right plays.
He
and for a player with that kind of talent to make the right plays, I was like,
when you thought about Kobe and KG who came before them and their transitions, and they struggled their rookie year. Right? KG struggled his rookie year.
No doubt.
Kobe struggled for a couple years, if I'm not mistaken.
Kobe had
some
rough years.
LeBron
never struggled in the NBA.
Remember LeBron, the talk was LeBron was upset because he didn't make the All-Star game, right? Yeah. And Paul Pierce made it, and he was upset because he didn't make the All-Star game. So I if I was a GM and I had a choice between Kobe 03 to 07 or LeBron, you know, a few years back and now, I'm still taking Kobe. Kobe's my man.
Okay.
I mean,
you're a winner either way.
You really are a winner either way. I think the one thing I would like to see more about LeBron is a little more killer instinct.
That is the thing that he could never touch with Michael Jordan.
Right.
Because it was never, we're not playing out here at all, man.
Right.
It's
right.
not.
Right. It's like, not a joke.
And whatever I can use to get that advantage, I'm going to do it. Steve Kerr in Open Court. I was watching that the other day. It was NBA Tonight. Tim Legler said Michael Jordan was the only person he ever played against that every time he got the ball, he looked to attack. I'm talking about even if the play wasn't for him or they're running a triangle. And every time, he was like, every time he got the ball,
he was looking to attack.
He was looking to attack.
And I like legs. Legs
said he hit a jumper to hit the first two. And he was like, oh, this is easy. And he said, Michael had 48 straight and legs were stuck with his two, man. And for an NBA guy, you know how prideful they are.
Right.
For him to say that, he said he just puts the pressure on you every possession.
And
there aren't guys like, because LeBron, and I'm not using the term take plays off, but LeBron
he's
will get it and give
right.
it to D-Wade
right.
sometimes
right.
or get push it up and then give it to somebody else.
Right.
He said Mike was trying to get a bucket
right.
every second he was on the court.
And I've played against guys that are like that to some extent. And as a defender, you hate that.
That's tough, man.
You hate that because it's just like you have to be on guard every play on defense, and you hate that. And to hear if Legs says it, like Legs is probably – Legs and Jalen are the most respected analysts to me on ESPN because they can articulate
right.
and they played.
Right.
And if he said it, it's true. And I can definitely see that in Jordan, that it was just like, if I get the ball, I'm, you know, my first instinct is to at least make you aware. You know, even if the play is for me to skip
right.
and then come back 15 seconds, like I'm at least trying to make you aware. And that's tough to that's
Michael
tough
Jordan,
to defend.
He what made him great is he occupied space in your mind.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you was all
–
it's cats that couldn't sleep the night before because they was –
Dan Dockage
– like, man,
told
that's crazy.
Dan Dockage from Indiana told the story that Bob Knight comes in the night before and says, you got Jordan. I think this is like the 85 tournament. Dan Dockage said he went in his room and threw up. What? I was like, what? He's like – can you imagine that? Like,
no, I couldn't. That's serious.
Yeah,
though.
Like you go in your room and throw up. Because you got him on the scouting report?
And something else funny that Legs said. Legs said that as Jordan was putting up his 45, he didn't feel bad because he was like, man, he's done it to better defensive players than me.
Right.
So, you know, who am I to feel bad? Yo, the only thing you could do is hope Jordan had an off night and hope he ended with 22 or something like that.
Have you ever seen, this is one of my favorite movies, have you ever seen There Will Be Blood?
Yes.
Daniel Day-Lewis. So Mike,
one of my favorite actors. He's dope.
And Tony, you've seen the movie, right?
Definitely.
We talked about it on the show before.
Yeah, I think we have. We talked Daniel Day-Lewis and we brought him
incredible.
Up.
He's incredible.
Jordan has, like, that guy didn't care, right? He didn't care if, literally, if he had to kill you. He didn't care if he stole from you. Michael Jordan didn't care if he was going to abuse.
Are you talking about Gangs of New York?
No. This is, but I mean, they were really the same character.
Okay, right. I got you.
Kind of the same character, but you know, it's, so yeah, I mean, you take Bill the Butcher was the same.
That was one of the best, dopest villains of all time.
He didn't care. And Michael Jordan really had a villain mindset. Like, I don't care if your son is in the game and this is, I mean, his son's at the game and this is his first time seeing dad.
I don't care if it's your birthday.
I don't care if you just got married or if this is your girlfriend's first time in town. Like, I'm here to torch you. We'll shake hands after the game.
I tell my kids this all the time, and I really believe this. They're and I was speaking from personal, you know, experience. If Michael Jordan's mother checked in the game, she would get it like everybody else got.
She'd get a hard foul, you know, elbow to the face.
She'd get it. Like everybody else got it.
And people will say that, but with Jordan, I believe it.
That's serious.
Like, man. I believe it, yeah. He did not care.
He's trying to get Miles 50, man.
The same thing that can make you a horrible human being can make you amazing on the court or on the field.
Yeah. That's so true. And they say that about CEOs and business. It's the same thing. Like, it's, you know, like you said, it's horrible when you look at what they're doing from a third-party standpoint. But if you're in the mix, like if you're on Jordan's team,
you gotta do it.
You love it. Like, yeah, I love this guy. Right. Tone, can you pull up that Jay Williams quote? We'll talk about the Warriors real quick. So the Warriors have been playing pretty well. I think they were all the way up to 5 seed, and I know it's still early. We're before the preseason break, but they've lost 5 in a row. And I don't know what's your opinion. I thought that they were for real, but I think as we get down the stretch here, you always need a big-time player to kind of – sometimes you're in a funk, you know what I mean? And you just need a Kobe to say, tonight's my night, I'm getting 50, we're winning. I don't know that the Warriors have – I don't know that Steph Curry's that player yet. I don't think David Lee's that player. And I think this may be where they go from, you know, potential, hey, we've made a jump to back to 500 and we're fighting for a 7-8 seed.
I always – had the belief that they were too young to be just like a serious threat to anything because they're young and they don't have the chemistry that's necessary to make pushes and threaten the Oklahoma Cities, the San Antonio Spurs. Because you look at the San Antonio Spurs, they're not one of the most talented teams in the league. But you look – but they're – they're probably the best team, though. They don't have the most talent on the team. I would say that Golden State has more talent than the Spurs from top to bottom.
You think so?
And just in terms of talent, pure talent, like basketball players. But you put the Spurs together, and we got the best record in the league because we trust each other. We know where each other's going to be. We're well coached. Like, there's a lot of other things that go into it. You know, Popovich has trust in him. He knows his players. And Mark Jackson hasn't had a chance to develop that with the Warriors.
I don't know that – I don't necessarily like Jackson as a coach. I don't like some of his quotes. I think he overprojects. I think he overextends to try to – you know how sometimes you feel like people may be creating a false persona? And I don't get that with Pop. I never got that with – like, that's who they are. And I'm respected because of what I've done for the last 10 years. And I just feel like when I hear Jackson in interviews, it's just like, I don't know. It's not like he's trying to be that guy. Like, I'm calm, I'm in charge, but I don't feel like it's him behind it. I feel like he's putting on a facade. And then I don't think you say you think the Warriors are more talented than the Spurs. I challenge you on that. Like, I don't, Curry's good. Lee's good, but I still think Tim Duncan right now is a toss-up between him and
Tim
Lee.
Duncan's good. He's not a great player right now.
Right, but my point is he's
Tony
15
Parker.
Years older than David Lee, and it's a toss-up.
No, but we're talking right now, though. We're talking today.
Right.
I think if you take the names and you scratch the Spurs and Golden State and you look at the two teams, like, come on, Danny Green's, like, getting numbers for the Spurs.
So you taking Parker over Curry or Curry over Parker?
I'm taking Parker.
Okay.
But after that, it's going to lean more toward the Warriors then.
Okay.
Then the Spurs.
All right. So we today I read an article on Jay Williams, and he talked about his suicide attempt. He went in depth on a few things with his Jay Williams was the All-Star guard for the Bulls who got in a motorcycle accident. I don't think he ever played in the NBA again. I know he tried to come back.
Really ended his career.
Yeah, it ended his career. He was an All-American guard at Duke. I had looked forward to his career in the NBA. I thought he'd be pretty good. I think he had a sit-down interview with one of the writers for ESPN the magazine, and a few of the things came out. One, he had tried to commit suicide, which is always sad. You never want to hear stories like that. But then he got into some discussions about his time with the Bulls. I don't know if you have the quote up, Tony. You want to read that for us?
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about his transition into the NBA and some of the things that shocked him. He said there were guys smoking weed before games, guys asking in the middle of the game, "Do you smell popcorn?" He said, "You think I'm playing? Can you imagine? Guys are gambling. They're playing dice in the back of the plane for money. Like, we just lost by 30 points tonight. We've got a game tomorrow." It bugged me out.
Yeah, I was a little disheartened to hear that quote. I'm one of the guys. I played low major Division I basketball. Obviously, we didn't have a private plane or anything like that. I'm one of the guys that, and you tell me what you think about this, Jabbar. What happens in our locker room, what happens on our team, stays in our locker room and stays in our team, right?
Right.
I may talk about it off the record with some guy, 10 years later with my buddies, but that will never be interview material. And if I'm talking and trying to make a point, I'm making a point about what I've done, and I'm not putting anybody else in. You know what I mean? That's team stuff. And obviously, like I said, the suicide thing, I wish Jason Williams the best. We're glad he's here. But talking about guys' drug use and gambling, to me, that's something you keep to yourself. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I definitely agree. Because you're taking other guys' reputations and their stuff down to tell your story. And like you said, you can just speak on yourself and your experiences and what you did. It's as a player and as a teammate, I would be a little taken back. And something that I've always noticed, he's never been, just from my viewpoint, like ex-players, they love Jalen Rose and he's never been a guy that people gravitate or looked up to as like one of the guys.
He's not at All-Star Weekend. Where's Jay Williams' party at?
But he's not. Because he's not. I think they view him as he's not one of us because of some of his views and some of that.
Well, and they've probably seen that. You know what I mean? They've seen what we just saw with the interview before we did, and it was just like, I don't mind not being around you socially, man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I was a little disappointed to hear that. I know Tyson Chandler had a response. He essentially was telling Jason Williams he probably should keep his mouth shut. And I agree with Tyson.
That's not cool.
You played on a team. That stuff stays in the locker room and stays with the guys. All-Star Weekend coming up. Did we talk about did we pick dunk contest winners and 3-point contest winners?
We didn't make a selection.
I'm going with the former Timberwolf, Gerald Green. I saw some stuff on YouTube today. I think he's got some surprises for us. I don't know who you.
I'm gonna tell you what's funny, and as a guy that could jump a little bit, when Gerald Green blew the candle out on that cake, man,
that was tough.
That's serious, man.
Yeah, that was tough.
It's pretty gimmicky and all that. That took me back. That was serious.
Your head's
man.
At the rim to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, your head's at
That's
the rim.
That's serious, man. And then to have, the ability to finish the play and dunk it. I like him. Who else we got? James White. They said Vegas, the odds are on James White to win.
Really?
Jeremy Evans, Bledsoe, Kenneth Fareed, Gerald Green, Terrence Ross, James White.
Bledsoe might give us something.
I think Terrence Ross. I'm going to go sleep.
I don't know who that is.
University of Washington, Toronto Raptors.
Okay.
Tony, I say watch out for the Manimal.
Manimal?
Oh, he's going to come in last.
No.
Come on, man. At the very least, it'll be fun to see him jump.
If he's not getting points for rebounding, no.
Who we got in the 3-point contest?
Hey, James White is serious though, man.
We got Steph Curry, Steve Novak, Ryan Anderson, Matt Bonner, Kyrie Irving, Paul George, and it looks like it.
Hey,
I'm going with Novak and Curry.
I'm going Curry.
Van Gundy said Novak is the best shooter he's ever seen in his life.
I heard him.
It's not even, we're talking Reggie Miller. We're talking everybody. So he's the best shooter.
I thought he said now.
The best shooter he's ever seen in his life on this earth.
I wouldn't take him over Reggie.
I wouldn't either. I mean, he's not as good as Reggie.
Well, you know
he's
what?
Talking about,
yeah, if you're just talking
he's not,
about.
He's not talking about. He's talking
Reggie
about
was a player, so.
Being able to stand behind the 3-point line and shoot and make it go in. He says he's the best he's ever seen.
The thing with Novak is he gets it off so quick, man. It's like Ray Allen.
I mean, I'm going with Novak.
You going with Novak?
Yeah, I'm going Novak.
Novak's shot is so mechanical that it's not going to be, you know, it's not a big thing for him to have to shoot off the rack.
It's not.
A lot of guys can't make that adjustment. From rack shooting to, you know, pass in-game shooting, but...
And pure jump shooters never do well because they get tired.
His shot, and it's pretty. I like his shot. I'm going to say Curry and then Novak.
I got to say this, man. This Kyrie Irving kid, man...
He can play.
It's serious, man.
Yeah, he can play. He reminds me of Chris Paul.
He's serious, man.
Yeah, he reminds me of
that
Chris
dude,
Paul.
That dude can get it done, man.
Did you see what he... This is a couple weeks ago. Did you... He gave Westbrook fits.
No.
And you'd rarely see somebody give Westbrook
and closed him out at the end.
Too. Yeah, you saw it.
That man's serious, man.
He's shooting 43% from the 3-point line.
He's not playing, man. Because,
is he top five right now?
I'm gonna say this. He has the best handle in the league, man. He literally.
Chris Paul.
We love Chris
Paul.
Nice. That Kyrie Irving man has the best handle in the league, man. Chris Paul's the best point guard.
I would say Paul. Darren Williams has a nice handle, too.
Now, would we be hearing a lot more about Kyrie if he was on a different team?
Oh, no question. You're gonna hear about him anyway.
And it kind of sucks that Cleveland won, you know, like, it's like, man, Kyrie's our guy, right? Like, if the balls bounce a different way, Kyrie's our guy. And you guys remember the whole debate, right, leading up to the draft was, leading up to the lottery was, what happens if the Wolves get the first pick? Do they keep Rubio and... I was like, even back then, and I didn't know Kyrie would be this good, but I was like, Kyrie's an athlete. I could see in the 11 games he played at Duke, like, this dude was going to be able to play in the NBA,
different,
man.
Different animal, man.
He's a different player. And our fortunes would be, like, if I'm Dan Gilbert, of course I hate that I lost LeBron, but, like, you know it's only a matter of time before your team's back in the mix, right? And
They got a good young nuclear.
How's Tristan Thompson playing? Or
he's
Thomas?
Balling, man.
Is he
Averaging
really?
Averaging like a double-double. Deion Waiters is playing.
Waiters?
They're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Waiters is a old-school kind of.
They said he was like Wade. I haven't really seen him play. Is he athletic?
He can shoot it better than Wade.
He shoots, but he's not
he's
as
like
athletic.
He's like a Mitch Richmond type guard.
How tall is he legitimately?
About 6'4", probably.
6'4"?
6'4", yeah.
Okay. Is he starting?
Athletic. Yeah, sneaky athletic. He's good, man. He can get. They're okay, man.
Okay.
They're going to be okay.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure. The Syracuse guys are hit or miss. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I expected Wes Johnson to be a stud.
Nah, I didn't.
I don't. He's not even in the rotation with Phoenix.
He shouldn't be.
All right. I don't want to talk about the skills challenge. East West. Who we think wins the game? I'm going with the West. Who won last year? The West, right?
Yeah.
I think the West won last year.
LeBron.
Tony, who you got? East or West?
I got West.
You got West?
Yeah. No. No problem.
Okay.
Blowout?
Not blowout, but no problem.
I'm going with the underdogs.
You're going with the East?
I'm going with young Kyrie now.
You think Kyrie Wade, on the floor?
Kyrie and
LeBron. I'm going with that.
Anthony Davis?
I'm going. He definitely didn't make it.
Yeah, he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Who are the West starters? Kobe,
I'm thinking
Chris
Olympics.
Paul, KD.
Kobe.
Dwight Howard and Griff? Nah, I'm going with the West.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
I'm going with the West, man. I'm going with the West. Because Kobe, you know, Kobe plays for keeps in the fourth quarter. It gets serious in the fourth quarter.
But LeBron's playing on another level, though.
Yeah, but LeBron doesn't play for keeps, man. He passed the ball last year. Yeah,
Carmelo, LeBron, Garnett, Rondo's out. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Tyson Chandler, Luol Deng.
Why'd you say Chris Bosh, man? It made me less excited.
Come on. Because they called his name. That's why I said
it. It made me less excited.
Chris
Bosh, I'm going west, man.
You gonna Durant. Switch your pick on Chris Bosh?
Blake Griffin.
I'm going west.
Dwight Howard, Kobe, Chris
Paul. I
forgot
about CP3, man.
Tim Duncan, James Harden, LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean,
I'm going CP. Tim Duncan made the All-Star game?
Yes.
This is clown activity.
Nah, man.
Are you kidding me? Duncan's, come on, man.
Would you take on the west over Duncan?
LaMarcus Aldridge is playing better than Tim Duncan.
Aldridge
right
is
now.
In the game.
He's in it.
It's.
You can't name anybody.
Tony Parker made it, too.
Ooh, Serge Ibaka, maybe? Serge?
Can we be serious here? This dude is the clown of all clowns.
Duncan?
But he's playing better than Tim Duncan. DeMarcus Cousins. I wouldn't vote him. Now, I'm talking talent.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan.
Nah.
Tim Duncan, yeah. That's a
coach's pick, too.
I'm going to leave
so
that
you know,
on.
He's not, you know.
Oh, he'll
you know,
never
he's
make
it.
I don't care if he ever makes it.
I wouldn't be mad if Cousins was in. I definitely wouldn't be mad if Ibaka was in. But I'm not. To me, Duncan's not.
Ibaka.
I'm not so surprised that Duncan's in.
They're averaging
18,
man.
Right?
They're both averaging 17.3.
Yeah, and what, 10 rebounds?
Surprisingly, Jabari.
See?
10 boards?
Okay.
It's 9.7 boards.
Tim Duncan, my bad. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just comparing. I guess I'm just comparing him to the Duncan I've always known.
They're both 17.3 and 10 boards.
Yeah. So. Hey, best team in the league and ultimate professional. Go for it.
Can we talk about that team a little bit?
I mean, Which team?
We talk about Oklahoma. We talk about the Clippers. Just the Spurs have kind of snuck in. All these other teams have started to rack up some losses.
They do this every year, man.
They do. Yeah, they do. I'm going to say this. I like what the Spurs do. I hate them come playoff time because I just don't like watching them play. Like, you can't be a fan of basketball and not like what the Spurs do and what they mean what they represent as an organization. But when it comes to watching, you know, game after game, it's just like I just don't like watching the Spurs.
It's surgical ball. It's not fast break ball. You know?
And Tony Parker's exciting. And I think part of me is caught in the past with the David Robinson, Avery Johnson, Sean Elliott era. Because Manny Ginobili's exciting to watch. When you think about like Ginobili's an exciting player.
When he's healthy.
Yeah.
I like Tony Parker in the semifinals last year.
I love Park. I think Park's a great player. I liked him against the Clippers.
Make it to the semifinals again.
I think so.
They're out? You think they're out?
Yeah, they're not going. Same thing as last year.
They can't beat the Spurs. They can't beat the Thunder.
The Clippers or the Thunder. That's
not at all.
I think the same.
They could. They won't.
So who you got coming out of the West this week?
Oklahoma City.
OKC? Tone?
OKC.
Yeah, I got OKC too.
OKC. I'm staying with the Clips. I think they'll get back. Paul is back. I like the way they looked against the
Knicks. Now, I'm going to be honest. I hope the Clippers make it, but I think OKC will do it.
Lakers in the playoff, yes or no?
No.
No? Tone?
No, still. Wolves in the playoffs? No.
They're sliding further. The Wolves have won two of their last 17 games, man.
Enough already.
Yeah, we cut the Wolves section. I mean, it's not even.
It's like talking about the Pistons.
I'm just recalling. You thought they'd make it our first episode.
You did?
Here.
I did.
Oh, okay. He was drinking the juice,
that was 3 months ago, man.
I know. It was exciting, but I still said they wouldn't make
Until such time the Timberwolves do not have Barea, Ridenour, and Rubio on the floor, we're not going to talk about the team, right?
Like, you're excited about Chase Budinger and Brandon Roy, man?
Coming back?
Oh, Alexi Sved. Ooh. All right.
Come on, man.
Real talk, though.
Clowning on Chavette.
Chase Budinger.
Zach can play. But
yeah, he can play.
He's not getting us over any hump.
Not right now. Chase Budinger, I felt bad for him because he was having a pretty good year for us until he got hurt. I'm not saying he's the answer to our problems, but he's a nice 4, 5, or 6 best player in a rotation.
Thank you, KT.
Football season's over, but we are going to talk a little bit about Jadeveon. Is that how you say his name?
Jadeveon
Clowney. He is the defensive end. He's a man child. I'm not a huge fan of college
University
football.
University of South Carolina.
USC, baby. If you are from the South, you know that's the real USC. The first time I went to school in North Carolina, the first time I heard somebody say that when I was down there, I was like, why are you guys talking about Southern Cal?
Right.
And they're like, no, we're talking about the Gamecocks. I was like, no, it's not USC, but it is. A story came out today that he may be thinking about not playing his junior year. For you guys out there, you know that you can't going to the NFL until you have played your junior year three years after high school. So he's in his second year after high school, but if I'm mistaken, he's all everything for all SEC, all American.
D defensive LeBron.
Right.
Like,
I mean, he could
a freak type dude.
From what I heard on ESPN this morning, if he was
came out this year, he'd be number one.
He'd be
next
number
year
one
number one.
Right. Right. So there was some talk about him not playing because he doesn't want to get hurt and jeopardize that. And what made it for me more salient was that his best friend,
Marcus Lattimore,
before the show, his best friend broke his or tore his ACL this year, right?
Same as AP, ACL, all of it.
Oh, wow.
Just tore it all up.
Wow. And then on top of that, for you guys out there that follow Kentucky basketball, Nerlens Noel, who was a stud freshman. Number one pick in basketball, we just found out tore his ACL. So I said this morning, I told my brother, I told Jabbar and Tone before the show, if I was advising Jadeveon, I would sign with an agent, get hooked up with all the fitness people and the weight people and all that training that they can do for a year, and I would forego because I don't care about insurance policies.
Right.
There's no reason for him to give South Carolina another free year of labor and risk what could be $10, $20, $30 million of earnings over the next 10 years in the NFL is to me is just not worth it. What else do you have to prove?
Me and my guy, my probably my best friend, we had a long talk about it this morning, and you look at the risks of it. There are no risks. The risk of him taking off is like his dream is at the end of the tunnel, you know. Like, you take this year off and you work hard and you do all this, and this time next year, you're on stage with, you know,
right,
Roger Goodell,
right,
as a top three pick. Like, but I said that it would be hard for me because I'm a competitor and I would want to play and I would want to play with my guys. Yeah. But from a business standpoint, I can't knock it at all because the flip side of that coin is you know, you're one play away from. We're talking millions and millions of dollars.
And we were talking before the show.
And football's a little different than basketball in the sense that
the guaranteed contract.
That in the get back. Like, we're not going to talk about AP because he's a different guy.
Right.
But,
oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But an injury in football hurts your stock more than the same injury in basketball.
Right, just because it's so physical.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably more likely to happen again. We were talking before the show. And I said that was a – I didn't even think about it like that in terms of a risk-reward. There really is no risk for him not playing. He's going to be the number one pick. The NFL is not going to hold it against him. If anything, if I'm a GM, I may value that. He didn't take another year of practices, getting beat up. He trained, and he's still fit when he comes to camp. He didn't forget how to tackle. It'll take him 2 months of OTA.
And he can work on that stuff. But they also said that – some GMs may question his character and all of that, but that that may be true, but it still may not be worth the risk for me. Like, looking at what's happening like around me, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
with
right.
the Noel, with, you know, my guy going down, right. And he's entering the draft kind of like Willis McGahee did. He's having his surgery, and he said he's going to the draft.
Lattimore?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to, you know.
Not
I don't blame
to go
him
back.
I come back and do it. Right. Tom, what do you think about this?
I think, I mean, this is all a combination of how much money these guys are making in the NFL now, coupled with just how many torn ACLs and career-ending injuries we see, right?
Right.
It's kind of both.
There are no career-ending injuries anymore. Medicine's too good
for them. Career-stunting injuries, though.
Yeah.
Motorcycle accident.
But not at 18, though.
You think Lattimore is going to have the same value? When he comes back from his knee injury?
No, it's not a career-ending injury. It hurts you.
Yeah, okay. Career-suffering injury.
But that stunt could be big, right? That stunt could mean...
Because we're talking about a top 10 dude, and he's probably a second or third rounder now.
Right, you're talking about Lattimore.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and then you come in as a second or third rounder. You know how it is. They may sit at the table across from you after the draft and say, we love you, we're going to give you a chance. Once the whistles blow in August, oh, you're hurt? Your knee's hurting again? Give me the next back up. You know what I'm saying? It's
the best there never was.
Especially at running back.
Yeah, especially at running back, man. So, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the NCAA. I think that they exploit young 18, 19, 20-year-old guys. We talked before. I think there's definitely an asymmetrical advantage the NCAA employs with their athletic directors, their presidents, their administration versus – you're talking about an 18-year-old guy in inner city Chicago, and he may have his mother and his uncle, who did a little bit of research before the coach came and offered scholarships and talked about insurance contracts and all that stuff. And I feel like it's anybody, any impartial observer who looks at the NCAA, you see a market. They say they're non-for-profit, but it's not. That's a market. That's a business. That's for-profit. Those guys are making a lot of money. This is not 1950 on a bus, go the night before the game and then, come back. This is a lot of money. This is big business. And for it to be, in my mind, if it's big business, then the labor needs to be represented
business. The kids need to have representation. Yeah, but in the NCAA, they hear that, but they won't change it because they want to be judge, jury, executioner.
Right.
They want to just have the power to do whatever.
Right.
And I think that's not in anybody's best interest.
And my other thing is that Mark Emmert, who's the president of the NCAA, was on 60 Minutes about a year ago, I think. And I think Croft was the interviewer, and he pressed him on it. And Emmert said, the revenues for football and the NCAA tournament pay for all the other sports. And I told my brother, I said, only in America, right? Like, this is the most capitalistic country we've ever seen in the history of the world. But only in America will they force these, 18, 19, 20-year-old football and basketball athletes to subsidize all the other sports, right? Like, you don't find a virtuoso, a piano player, or I put this on my Facebook today, or a violin player, or a tennis star. You don't find the court
paying for his lessons.
You don't find the court saying, hey, they're paying you a lot of money to perform symphony or whatever. We're going to take all that money and give it to some kids in the inner city to get better computers or better books or better schools. Like, they laugh at you.
No,
like,
but I think that if a pianist had the same draw as the NCAA football did, they would, because they can.
The NCAA.
You think so?
NCAA is a joke, man.
No. I think they do it because they can, and I think they prey on the 1-2% of these guys that can make it to the NBA. They prey on the dreams, right? And just to make it I don't know if you can second my point or not. Entering college, like, in the back of my mind, like, I knew I wasn't an NBA player. It didn't stop me from still dreaming for 4 years that I could somehow magically make it to the NBA. You know what I mean? And so I think the NCAA tone preys on that because they know every Division I football player and every Division I basketball player, I would have done anything.
99% of them have the same dream.
The same dream. And they'll do anything, right? And it means even if we say practice, the rule is you can only practice 20 hours a week, I'll sign the sheet even though we practice for 25 hours this week. You know what I mean? Like, whatever needs to be done, I'll do it because this is my way. And I think they prey on that, and that's what I don't like, right? Like, at 32, I see that, and I work in business.
Exploitation.
And I know what real business looks like, and I know the NCAA has a racket, and they're exploiting a bunch of guys, and that makes me angry, right? And so I want Jadeveon to do this because I think if he I think if he does it, and Jabbar said before the show, you're right, it would, because you're going to get a lot of clowns thinking, I'm going to play 1 year at LSU and then I'm done. You know what I mean? And a lot of agents are going to second that. But anything to bring the NCAA to its knees, I'm for, because they need to reevaluate their business model.
I'm with you.
They do. What are you smiling at, man?
No, I agree with you. I agree they exploit them for that.
KT's passionate about this one.
I am, man. I really am.
And I totally agree with you, but I'm just saying anything that is going to make as much money as that, they're going to spread it around the college to make money for it. I agree that it's not something they should be doing, and that they are exploiting these young kids through that.
And my thing is, I thought about that today. I didn't know. I don't know how it was where you played, Jabbar. I didn't know that baseball, soccer, lacrosse, swimming, these guys don't get full scholarships.
For some of them.
Some of them are getting partial scholarships. And so
yeah,
to me, if you're spreading it, spread it to them first, right? Like, a lot of our baseball players didn't get full scholarships. So if it's extra money, like, spread it to them first and then talk about president's bonuses and athletic director's bonuses.
Of course.
They don't do that. They don't do
that.
Or
open a new research lab.
Yeah, give it to the cross-country guys or the track girls that are, having to work study because they got to make – I'm fine with them spreading the money, but give it to the kids. And I don't think a lot of it's going to Mark Emmert's private plane. Why does he need a private plane? Tell me again if this is a nonprofit. You got Fortune 100 CEOs that fly commercials. So, come on. I just I think they say a lot of things, and then I think they know that football and basketball are their golden goose, and they're going to do whatever they can to protect it. So I see this as a legitimate way to start bringing them to their knees. And he's a high-profile guy. It's no more high-profile than him. I want him to do it. I'm hoping he does it.
Yeah, it'd be a good start for this whole thing.
It would. And it would bring Emmert and the NCAA to their knees real quick. And they would. I think they would learn a quick lesson. And I think you would see a lot of things change pretty quick. I really do.
So,
and then you, in my mind, it's because agents are smart. And to me, agents are the shield that these young guys need. And once you get the agents involved, it's a wrap. Because the agent can deal with the athletic director.
It turns into business.
It turns into business.
You got a man talking to a man.
You know what time it is. And he's not getting pulled over on this. Hey, Mrs. Clowney, your son, the alumni love him. They're going to give him a party. And, oh, it's so great. Like, you can't fool. You can fool her. You're not fooling, Wasserman or, any of these big agents with any of that. They're not going for that. So
it's really, if things start to get on this line and progress as you want them to, as I want them to, it's really weakening of the NCAA sport and strengthening of the students' rights, the players' rights, and strengthening of the NFL.
Yeah.
Healthier players come in.
It would definitely hurt the NCAA.
It would hurt the NCAA, I think, in the short run, because I don't think people are walking away from the game if they start paying players. I really don't. I don't think fans are going to find it any less appealing. Because fans know what time it is, too. When you tell a fan that the NCAA tournament is $13 billion, fans aren't stupid. Like, that's not a little bit of money. That's a lot of money. And they're not – I don't think fans are going to be upset. I don't think USC fans would be upset if Clowney was getting paid
and
this year.
That $13 billion, they don't spread it to all 66 teams. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's a business, man. And the NCAA will do – whatever they have to do to make more money. That's what they're going to do. They're not going to do anything that's going to affect their bottom line.
Yeah.
And that's sad, but that's how it is. And nobody's made a stance like this, or nobody's caused enough ruckus to change it. So they're bullies, man. Like, that's how because you need us to get to the NFL or the NBA.
Right.
So and that's what they do.
Right. And the NFL and NBA are complicit, but to me, the NCAA, they'll say, well, the NFL or NBA players unions could change the rules. No, this is about you, right? NCAA could change their rules and pay players today, and it would have no effect on the NCAA or the NFL or the NBA players union. All right, like you said, I am very passionate about that. I was very much looking forward to.
You're the one starting this whole thing. This is going to be good.
I'm going to get a letter from the
NCAA. Give me a press conference and ESPN tomorrow.
I'm sure you'll sit down with them.
All right, let's move on to some this or that, huh?
All right, let's do it. I'm going to add one in before you go with the last two, Tone.
Okay.
Jamar hasn't seen this. Josh Smith or Zach Randolph?
I am more of a fan of Zach Randolph than Josh Smith, but I would go Josh Smith.
Yeah, I'm taking Josh Smith. Randolph can't jump over a phone book. He's got a high skill level, but
they give you 18 and 11.
I still feel like Smith can be the better player if he gets the right coaching. Tone, who you
taking? But his head is.
I'm with Jabbar. I think Randolph's more likable. But yeah, Josh Smith's head's questionable, but he just as far as the score goes.
Zach's head was questionable for a long time.
Long time. Oh yeah,
he was questionable.
Zach's lucky to be in the position he's in.
He really is. He got a second and
almost,
third chance.
He almost
to
cut
pick
his
it up.
Own throat.
He did. He did. All right, Tone, you want to take the last two?
Yeah. All right. No Church versus Run This Town. KT, I'm going to hop it over to you so you know everyone will know what you're talking about.
Going, so these are rap songs. No Church is a rap song by
Kanye
West and Jay-Z. And then Run This Town was on Jay-Z's album a few years ago with a verse from Kanye.
Why these two songs?
I don't. You know what, man? I'm embarrassed to admit this. I did not. I'd heard the hook. What's a whatever. I don't even want to butcher it. What's a thing to a king or whatever. Right. And I didn't know that was from Watch the Throne, man, because I had never heard the full song.
Really?
But I'd always heard the hook and thought, that's dope. Like, really? I like the hook. Okay. So I watched the video. The video was cold.
Right.
And then I heard the whole song. It had Dream, Frank Ocean, Ye, and Jay-Z. And I was like, man, it was kind of had to run the video. I had to run the town field. So I just thought I'd throw it in there. But
it's got Frank Ocean on the chorus.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was Jay-Z and Kanye. But I'm taking No Church. I like the video. And then I like the kind of the message and the theme. With us. I didn't know that was the seventh single on Watch the Throne. They're down to number seven now. And it's still still going strong. So, yeah, I'm taking No Church. What you got, man?
I'm going No Church. I'm not a real singles guy, but, you know, I just like the song better than Run This Town.
I'm a Kanye guy.
All day.
With Frank Ocean, too. I like Frank Ocean.
I'm a fan of everybody that was on there. I don't fool with Future or nothing, though. But
I don't even know who that is.
Kanye, you're not missing that.
Oh, okay.
Kanye and Jay-Z, I'm a fan.
And we'll wrap it up with the last one here. Jerome or Otis?
This is for Jabbar.
Oh, man.
Tone, hold on. Tone, you know what this is?
No.
It's from Martin Television Show.
Oh. We've been through this. Man. I didn't watch it.
KT, I'm going to let you go, man. Because, like, serious, this is something I'm passionate about. This is a great question.
I'm taking Jerome. I like Otis. For you guys out there that may not know, Otis was the
security guy.
Martin Lawrence's show that ran, I don't know, it stopped. This is 99, 98?
Yeah.
This is a while. I was still in high school. It was a great show. I mean, it was the talk of the town on Mondays at North High School.
Otis Supreme.
Yeah. I'm going with Jerome. Jerome was kind of was he a pimp? What was Jerome? He's a ladies man. I love Jerome, man. He pop his shirt open at the hairy chest. Yeah. I'm going with Jerome, man. I love Jerome. We would watch reruns of this on the bus, and it was just like
timeless.
Yeah, it is. It's timeless. So I'm going with Jerome, man.
I'm going Jerome only because he was a bigger character. He played. There are more examples of him on screen than Otis.
Yeah.
Otis was dope, man.
Yeah.
Otis was the old security guard that didn't play. If they got in a fight, Otis put hands on Jerome.
He put the old man strength on. I remember the scene where somebody tried to rob a lady at the ATM, and then he told old man, it was a big buff dude. Oh, yeah. Otis put him down, man. Yeah.
Getting ready to put you down, boy.
Otis put him down. Yeah, good. Otis put you down, boy.
Otis, yeah, that's classic material.
Mark, I love that show, man. I wish they have some reruns on TV1. I catch it once in a while, but I don't know. I felt like that was a show that ended before its time, man.
I told Tone and Marcus while you were gone that is the last show where I'm like, I'm not doing nothing from 7 to 8. I'm watching Martin tonight, and I'm running home, and that's what it was. I'm talking about the young cats VCR. Don't know nothing about the VCR, but I'm talking about 4 or 5 tapes full of Martin just back-to-back, man. Like, there isn't an episode I have not seen.
Yeah.
Martin, like, it's serious.
Martin was hilarious.
Drop some tapes by, man. I got a couple VCRs.
And they got them on DVD now,
man. We
got
to check it out.
Drop them by next week.
Can you convert them for me?
Maybe.
All right.
Okay. Tone, have you ever seen an episode?
No.
No?
Not at all.
You got to watch one episode, man.
We got to give them a player's ball.
It was HBO, right?
No, it was Fox, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is...
Okay. I remember we did Martin versus In Living Color, I think, 1 week.
We sure did. All right, so it's unanimous here. Jerome's the winner for Jabbar. This is KT and producer Tone. KT got game. We're out.